There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey guys, welcome to the next episode of How We Wrote the Book. My name's Yomi Adegoke.
I'm Elizabeth Ifebenene.
And this week we're going to be looking at how we literally wrote the book and gathered the content. So this is definitely going to be a conversation. I think this is one of the like most difficult bits of the process. So Elizabeth, how would you say we actually got the work done? Like, did you have a schedule? Did we sort of have like writing goals? Tell us about it.
I think that we both wrote this book majority of the time working full time. And for me, I just knew like, so I wrote this book full time working and I wasn't going to leave my job to do it. But so I think, I don't know, I feel like I'm a bury my head in the sand type of gal when it comes to things I have to do, but know I have to do them and like just mentally try and work out like how to do it. So I think for a long time, I kind of like left it to the last kind of moment where I had to kind of take it very seriously, which is not a good approach to do things. So I kind of wrote around the life, like my kind of like 9 to 5. And I think I was always living on borrowed time all the time in terms of trying to write the book. So I think if you're someone who is basically like working full time, I think, you know what, knowing what I know now, I was okay to do it because I was what, 22, 23. I think now maybe a bit older than that, but now at 28, I just don't think I have the energy in me to work full time and do what we were doing with Slaying Your Lane. And I think with the book, it was a book that we had to do, write the book, interviews, plus we had like our own personal life things you have to kind of do, plus we had to kind of organize the photo shoot around the book. So I just don't think that I would have the enthusiasm and the energy to do what I did back then now. So I would, if I was presented with the exact same options now, I would, something has to give, because some things aren't sustainable. And I think that I would have definitely not been able to kind of like do that. So for me, my goals were kind of based on when I could do stuff. Like I was more tactical. So in my head, I was like, right, I've got to do research to write this bit. I'm going to do this research when, when I'm at work and I've got like a down, like 20 minutes, like a downtime of 20 minutes, do the research there. So I was stealing and borrowing time wherever I could get it. And then when it came to actually writing, I think for me, I'm such a morning person, a morning writer. I have to write in the morning if I'm going to get like good ideas or a flow. Or
I didn't know
night.
That.
Yeah. If I can't write in the morning, like literally I have to, I'm not just only writing just general product for like work. Like my brain fries from 12. I can't do it. Like it just fries, but I'm not a morning person. So that was a challenge for me because I'm a morning person more so now, but I would say that, so I could write there and then at nighttime. So like literally like by night, as in like midnight, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. So those are my peak hours. And I would say those are the times where I wrote the book, like actually writing. Every other time was gathering content, was pulling things together, was more the construction of like an argument as opposed to like flowing and writing. But yeah, how about you? Because obviously I feel like you're someone that can just shut yourself away. You don't need so many conditions to write. I might be a thing, but for me, I'm like, I have to have a coffee. I have to do this. The temperature of the room has to be this. So that's an impossible way to work. So yeah, I don't know how you kind of found everything.
It was hard, but like, I think more because like, obviously, as you said, we had to like gather content. We had to like get stats and stuff, which thankfully, because of some of the stuff that I was reading and stuff, like I'd come across things that were just useful and like relevant. And obviously, if you came across anything or if I came across anything, we just send it to each other. But yeah, in terms of, you're right, I definitely like had my periods where I just lock myself away. But it was difficult because it was like, there was just so little time, like literally in terms of I'm working basically, you know, 9 to, you know, 6, and then that's not even including like commuting time. So I don't necessarily need so many conditions, but I do need to be in my house usually to be able to write, and I do need to be like on my own. So, I mean, I had to kind of get flexible. I had to kind of like be making notes at least on like my commute and like when in other kind of spaces and circumstances, because I just didn't have the time to be able to write under the conditions that worked for me. But yeah, so I would often just pretty much any spare bit of time that I had was dedicated to trying to write. And I definitely had a schedule. I had like, I sent like you and myself like this kind of like, okay, this is how many chapters we have to do per, this is how many words we have to have in a chapter to be able to hit the limit. But then I remember I started like saying, okay, this is how many, this is how many words we'd have to write per day with this deadline to be able to hit this, to hit our deadline and word count. And like each day that passed, the number would go up, and I'd like update it like regularly to be like, okay, we now have to write this many words a day to be able to hit our deadline. And I didn't always stick to it, but it was good to know that like it's not a surprise, like, okay, so I now have to be writing like 2,000 words a day to be able to hit the deadline. And I write over anyway, so I wasn't too worried about word count, but it was just more just making sure it got done. But it was really difficult, I'm not gonna lie, especially because we had jobs. I think if we hadn't, it'd have been a very different process. But then I feel like at the same time, it forced us to like it really forced us to like hit certain targets on time, because like, you know, we just didn't have any other time like to do anything, so we had no other choice basically. Do you have any tips in terms of time management and sort of writing for our listeners?
Don't overthink it. I think I self-edit so much and it's just a mess. So I would definitely say, honestly, just write how you talk and then work on it afterwards. I think for me, that's always been kind of like my biggest struggle. I just backspace way too much. So I would definitely just say it doesn't have to be. I saw this tweet literally years ago, and it always stuck with me. I can't remember like the exact words. So it was like, so I'll paraphrase it. It was just like, the first edit is for you, the second edit is for your editor, and the third edit is for the reader. And I think that if you kind of like see it as in that way, when it comes to your like actually like writing a book or writing any long form piece of writing, it feels less like, it feels less grandiose, if that's the right word. It just feels very like manageable. So if you just think of it, this is for me, this edit that I'm writing is for me, but you're really sending it to your editor to like, you know, sense check or whatever to edit. The second edit is for your editor, but she's really thinking about the reader. And the third edit is for the reader, but it's, do you know what I mean? That's the real,
absolutely.
By that point,
yeah,
we've had so many rounds. So I would just say, for me, just don't overthink it. Just write, even if it's like this, you know, this adjective, this verb doesn't really work, just leave it. Leave it, don't go think about 1,000 words to fill that word, write it and then come back. Because for me, I always feel better when I've written stuff and then I can come back to it. I always fail when I've written like little and then I think, oh my God, like this is, like I have to make this paragraph perfect, when I could have just written 3 paragraphs and then come back and read it as a whole, and it just feels like, okay, what point are you trying to make? So yeah, I think overthinking is definitely my biggest challenge when it comes to writing, and I blame it on writer's block and all that jazz when it's just like, honestly, procrastination. How about you? What tip would you give?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, yeah, like literally what you said basically in terms of like overthinking and just getting it down on the paper is the most important thing. Even that quote, like, mate, you know that even it's not even the first and second and third, it's literally the 50th, the 60th, like God knows how many like edits Helen got before we even like were able to then send it, like how many times, because she'd send it to us, no, we'd send it to her, then she'd send it back to us, then we'd send it back to her, then I think there was a point where there were like 3 different like eyes on it. I think they were literally all called Helen, like going back and forth and being like, oh okay, but what about this, what about that? And I don't even know what level of edit the readers like ended up with. Like I don't even know how some chapters were easier than others, but others it was literally like, you know, there'd been bits that I'd rewritten and changed up like several times. So it's, I think it's just nothing to worry about, because as you said, like you can just come down to it. Sorry, it's nothing to worry about because you can just come back to it. And I feel like, yeah, like the most important thing is just getting it on the paper. Like I have a horrible writing process, which is that I take notes, usually on my notes app on my phone. I just like have ideas. I have ideas of like what I want to talk about, literally jokes, witty sentences, like the points I want to make. And I just put them all in like a, what's the word, notes on my notes app on my phone. And then I email that to myself. And then I put that into a Google Drive document. And then I start writing. But because I literally write exactly as I speak, I will sort of do dot, dot, dot. Like I put ellipses in the middle of like when I haven't been. That's why I can't let people watch me write, because it's just too weird a process. But like I will literally like say, and then she dot, 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 and da, 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 da. Or just because I know I'm going to keep going back and adding in words as I go, as I reread. And I'm like, if you read my first drafts of stuff, they actually don't make sense. I remember there were parts in Selenium Lane that still had ellipses because I just had forgotten to actually update that bit. But like when I say it doesn't make sense, I'm not even being like, oh, self-deprecating, isn't it? It's actually not legible. Like it doesn't make any sense because I've got like what I want it to be in my brain, but I have to like keep going back to like amend it to make it even make sense. And then by the fourth time on my edit, I'm like trying to make it like actually sound good. It's a very strange process. But the reason I do those dot, dot, dots is because for me, the most important thing is getting it on the paper and just being like, make sure that it's actually like in on there, and that there's something like, you know, I'm not going to let the fact that I haven't found the right word in that first sentence stop me from moving on to the second sentence. So then that's why I put those dots there, so that like, I know I'll come back to it, but I want to get to the end of this like piece. And then I have to like go back and forth probably about 50 times before it's actually like an actual article. So obviously doing that with books is even longer and even crazier. But yeah, I just agree with your tip about just getting it done, because, you know, no one's going to stop you from, making amendments along the way.
Yeah, for sure. There's that thing, is it good is better than perfect?
Better than perfect.
Perfect. Honestly, let me tell you something, that's a hack of life. Nothing from loading your dishwasher to writing a book to so much stuff, like to the mundane to the most serious stuff, it's just better for things to be done. I feel like there's so much pressure on our day-to-day lives as women, as people, that I think that ultimately, like, you have to just get to a point where you are moving things along bit by bit, as opposed to like obsessing about how you're moving them on. So yeah, I totally agree around that whole dot, 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 I'm going to come back to this, need to get this on the page.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So a large part of our book kind of centered around interviews. Like, it was like something that we always knew we were going to have. We were going to speak to all these amazing women, ask them loads of questions around how they've been able to essentially navigate life as Black British women. I haven't interviewed people before this, this was Staying Lane. So it was very much daunting for me a lot of the time. But Yomi, how do you organize and conduct a good interview from your perspective?
I love a good interview. I love, just primarily because I literally like people. I like to find out what people, what they think, what makes them tick, blah, blah, blah. So literally I try not to approach, I try to honestly approach every interview the same. I know it sounds like whatever, but I really do. Like, regardless of who it is, literally if I'm interviewing Naomi Campbell, if I'm interviewing Megan Thee Stallion, I will literally approach it the exact same way I would interview anybody else, which is just that I always try to start with questions that are quite broad, but really quite, like, I guess, just not daunting. I think that's a really bad, like, mistake that I've seen people make, which is just that they just go, like, straight in. Like, a lot of agents want you to do that when you're, like, doing an interview. They're very much like, oh, just get straight to it for time. But it's just, like, you need to kind of, like, make people feel comfortable and break down, like, walls and whatever. So I really just try to start with, like, quite broad, but quite, like, you know, like, questions that I think make people feel comfortable. And I think with, when we were interviewing the women and stuff, obviously, you know, we were nervous and stuff, but I feel like our questions, like the starting point, I think one of the first questions, one of the early questions we'd ask would literally be like, who did you look up to when you were growing up? And like, that obviously casts everyone's minds back. And for a lot of the women, it was like family members and stuff like that. And it kind of put them in like a positive space. And they'd always, like, a lot of them would be quite like, I don't know, open after that, because they're in this, I don't know, like, it just was like a nice question, and it had often them speaking about their family or speaking nostalgically. And yeah, I feel like we'd kind of start quite easy. And even when it got to the more difficult questions, which often like came later, I think they felt a lot more comfortable. But also we were very clear, like, we're not trying to like catch anybody out. We're not trying to like do a gotcha moment where we're trying to make them say something that's going to end up in the Daily Mail and be some like big salacious thing. Like, I think we made it very clear that like we just wanted to hear their story and help tell it, and that was it. So I feel like I think we were just very sort of clear in terms of our intentions, and made it quite a bit easier to sort of ensure that they opened up. And a lot of the questions that we were asking, I think a lot of the women hadn't actually been asked before, because often their identity as Black women in Britain wasn't really something that like publications were focusing on. So I think I know you always say that like it felt, you think it was like a bit therapeutic, like almost like a therapy session, because they were able to speak about things that, like, you know, up until, well, now we're having these conversations more than ever, but back then it wasn't really as common. But yeah, I feel like in terms of being organized, I can't honestly say, like, I feel like we were, but at the end of the day, like, shit happens, and like the women were very busy, so often we'd have to be flexible, because, you know, sometimes you want to like have a conversation at a particular day and particular time, but you're dealing with some very high profile women here that might not be able to sort of stick to that. So we were always trying to be quite flexible, which was very difficult with our jobs. But what tips do you have, Elizabeth, in terms of people conducting interviews? And I guess, like, because you said, you know, you weren't necessarily, it wasn't something you'd done before. What did you feel like you'd learned anything or picked up any skills when we were kind of, you know, doing this?
Yeah, I think what you said around making sure, like, you know, starting broadly and like kind of easing them into it, I think that's definitely like so key. Even because, to be honest, we interview people, but we also get interviewed quite a lot. So on panels for, you know, TV stuff, or if it's for radio. So I think I've been able to pick up on good interview skills because of having that experience, even more so than like my experience interviewing people. So I always, and I think, I don't know, I feel like I'm a lot more harsh on people where on a bad, not bad interview, but I think my tolerance is a lot lower. Gosh, I make myself sound really, really, really not the most nicest, but trust me, I'm a nice person. But I think that like what I like interviews, like Yomi said, that you can just kind of like ease into, and I think that's a tip. I also think a tip is asking interesting questions on the basis of what the interviewee has said. You may have your own kind of like preconceived like questions on what you want to ask, which is always good, because like it helps with nerves, it helps with confidence, making sure that you know what you're going to say, or you know frameworks of what you want to kind of, or themes and topics you want to kind of like talk about. But I definitely would say like if they say something that's, you know, a little bit different, like definitely like have a follow-up what they said could lead to an interesting conversation that they've never said anywhere else. So if you, because think about it, if you haven't met somebody before, the majority of the time, the majority of things that you would know would be from the internet and stuff you've been able to gather. You're smart, but so is someone else. So you're probably going to go into an interview with these very similar questions that other people interviewing would ask. So I think that sometimes the magic with good interview skills and conversations is when they say something that's a bit like, ooh, can you know, what was that about? And I think you can have more interesting conversations around that. So that's what I find sometimes. But that takes, I'm not going to lie, that takes... there's a certain flair as well with getting, and I won't say that, oh my god, I have that flair, because I think that's something that I have to work on 100%, but I think there's definitely a certain flair where you are able to kind of make that person feel comfortable and also like really just listen and not listen to ask another question, but listen to respond in an interesting way, so the other person feels as if like you, it's almost like it's like a therapy thing, so they just want to open up. But you always, and I think what's so interesting, I don't know, but you always can tell when somebody else, when somebody who's interviewing you is just waiting to ask another question as opposed to listening. And I feel like, I don't know how you feel about that, but you're me, but
no, I agree. I hear that 100%.
And I think that's the thing with like good into people who are good listeners. I won't say I'm like the best listener, because I'm definitely not, but I would say,
oh, you're a good listener.
I'm a decent listener, but yeah, I would say that you're listener. Probably
you pick up on probably, things that I'm literally like, how the hell, trust me, you say stuff, okay, I'm like, how the hell do you remember that? And it's like, yeah, and you pick up from everybody that you're close to, like me, Pam, like they're just people that you'll be like, and then she said, I'm like, how the hell do you remember that? I always clock that. I'm like, you
okay,
really
fair enough. No, fair enough. I've been self-deprecating, guys, so
yeah, I'm like, no man, you're definitely, yeah, I'm like, you are wrong about yourself. No, but you definitely pick up on, I've noticed that, like even in the interviews, like literally in terms of being able to like feedback and be like, oh okay, so like even in terms of what you're saying now, like that is, but you are able to do that because you're a good listener. Like it's not like what they're saying, you're zoning out and then being like, okay, that was great, next question. Like you definitely are able to pick up on a point, do you know what I mean, and say, oh that's interesting because XYZ.
Yeah, zoning out is the worst.
Or maybe it's just because, you know, I get special treatment, so maybe I'm like, you're a great listener because I get special treatment.
I think because you're, it's because, but I guess when you're interviewing somebody, you should always have the focus, like, but because I've got such an overactive like mind and I'm always thinking and then it's just, it's always, so I'm always thinking to myself, oh my god, what I've got to do next, oh my god, like, so I never want the other person to feel like I'm not engaged. So yeah, I'm probably overthinking that again. But yeah, no, but I think that was it from me.
Yeah, same. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Until next time, when we'll be discussing the good days, the bad days, and the final push. Till then, bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.